19, Romans 6, 18 and 19. And having been set free from sin, have become slaves of righteousness. I am speaking in human terms because of your natural limitations. For just as you once presented your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness, leading to sanctification. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we love you, we praise you. Your will be done in this service. Thank you, Father God, that our ears are attentive to what you want to tell us, Lord, and our hearts are open to what you want to teach us, Lord. Thank you for your anointing and your will being done, and guide us, lead us, and direct us. Thank you that we will leave here set free, Lord, that we will leave here as free people with our burdens given to you, laid at your feet, that we will leave here excited and refreshed and ready to be and do what you have called us to do. We love you and praise you. In Jesus' wonderful, precious name we pray. And everybody in the church said, give the Lord some praise, everybody. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And having been set free from sin, have become slaves of righteousness. So this is the Apostle Paul writing to the Roman church, and he says this interesting thing right here, having been set free from sin. So he's saying, as a Christian person, as someone that has accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are now free from bondage from Satan. You no longer have to do what Satan tells you to do. And you might say, I never was in that boat, man. I never did have to do what Satan told me to say. I do what I do, man. I've always done my thing. Well, listen, here's the deal. Here's the God's honest truth, okay? Everybody listen up. You serve somebody, all right? That's how this thing works. You either serve Satan or you serve the Most High God. That's how that works, okay? You can say I'm a good person. I'm just not ready to accept Christ. Here's the deal. You serve somebody. And Paul is saying, if you have accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are no longer bound to that old, harsh, evil, wicked master, Satan. You do not have to do what he says. But he says something very interesting. And having been set free from sin, have become slaves of righteousness. He says, now you are a slave to somebody else. But see, the thing about this slavery is you have decided that I want to serve the Most High God. Think about what I'm saying this morning. You did belong to Satan. That's how this goes, okay? You served him. You belonged to him, okay? And now that you've accepted Christ, if you have accepted Christ, God says, I want you to be my servant. I want you to be my bondservant. I want you to willfully, wholly, not H-O, but H-O, yeah, too, but W-H-O, I want you fully to give yourself to God. Does that make sense this morning? I want to rule and reign through you. Remember, he's not just our Savior, but he's our Lord and Savior, and he wants to be the Lord of our lives. And there is a freedom that comes along when we say, God, I want to be your servant. I want to be subordinate to you. Because then once I allow him to be the Lord of my life, I can take all these scary, nasty thoughts, all these wicked things that bombard my mind. And I mean, I know if you have mind battles, man, I know what that's like. I might not have the same mind battles you have, but I've certainly have been through that. I know how it can steal your joy. I know how it can just make you a big mess, you know. But see, we can give these things over to the Lord. Say, well, that doesn't work for me, preacher. Maybe that works for you. No. I'm saying you don't give up. You keep giving it to God. Keep giving it to God because he's your Lord and Savior, and he comes to give us life and the abundant life, and he doesn't want us to be miserable thinking about the things of the past or what didn't happen or what could happen or what you did or what is, you know, all these things that steal our joy. God doesn't want us to be bound by that stuff, and we don't serve that evil master anymore that comes to steal, kill, and destroy and make us a mental mess. You know, we don't have to live like that. We have been set free in Christ. He is my Lord and Savior. He is my King. I am subordinate to Him. So I take my fears, my burdens, my regrets, and I give them to Him. And really, sometimes, man, you have to do that. Sometimes you have to do it every minute or two. You know, when you're really going through it, just refute. Well, that sounds tedious. Well, do you want to be miserable or not? You know, so you take this rubbish and you give it to God. I will not entertain that. I will not entertain that because I don't belong to you, Satan. I don't have to listen to your lies. Can I get a witness? Thank you, Jesus. And having been set free from sin, have become slaves of righteousness. Okay. A slave to righteousness. God says, this is what I want for you. I want you to willfully decide that you want to be my servant. Okay. Holy, giving yourself to me and growing in me. Be just as devoted. Let's look at the verse 19. I am speaking in human terms because of your natural limitations. Look at this part. For just as you once presented your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness, leading to sanctification. Paul's saying, just as fired up as you were in the old day about doing what you wanted to do, you know, crossing those lines that you know you weren't supposed to cross, just doing whatever you did, you know, just going at it. God says, just like you were just so devoted to sinning, and let's be honest, some of us were pretty good at sinning. I was really good at sinning, man. I was really good at not worrying about it, just doing what I wanted to do. You know, just as devoted as you were to that, be just as devoted to being a servant to the Most High God. And the Apostle Paul is a great example to follow because, man, before he was a Christian, man, he was sold out and devoted to murdering Christians. Man, that was the thing he did, and he was good at it, you know. And so he knows what it's like to be set free from something, and he also knows what it would be like, how damaging and destroying it would be to his life and ministry and productivity to hang on to all that stuff from his past. So he says, I can't go back there. I can't live in that mess. You know, I can't listen to the lies of Satan. I got to move forward. So I'm going to be this servant, this bondservant, this slave, willfully giving myself in obedience to the Most High God, so to spend the rest of my life being productive for Him, showing my thanks and gratitude for what He has done through the man Jesus Christ. Give the Lord some praise. Okay, so look at this part in verse 19. I am speaking in human terms because of your natural limitations. The Apostle Paul, you know, he's using this thing about slavery. And he's trying to make the point, like, the slavery analogy works. I understand that it might make some people uncomfortable. I understand that it's not perfect. But everybody who is reading this letter to the Romans has got to understand what slavery looks like. In the Roman society, I think it was something like one-third of the population was slaves. You know, and in this culture and in this day, you could put yourself into slavery. We think, when we hear the word slavery, we often, well, almost always, we think about slavery in America's early years. Well, it was a little bit different in this era, in this time. You could actually put yourself into bondage under somebody else. If you're like, hey, I'm having kids, I had a dad with a family meeting, yeah, having a little trouble making ends meet, daddy's going to go be a slave for several years, and, you know, I'm going to put myself under this guy, this wealthy landowner or whatever, and he's going to make sure that I got food, water, shelter, clothing, all that stuff. Okay, so you could actually do that, and if you liked your master, if you loved your master, if you're like, this deal's okay, you know, this is all right, you could actually say, I want to do this for the rest of my life. I want to be this man's slave for the rest of my life. So the Roman audience would understand what Paul's talking about. Make yourself a slave, not to sin like you used to be, but be just as devoted to the Most High God now and make yourself an obedient slave to Him, meaning He's in charge. It's not about you anymore. Yeah, I thought you were talking about freedom. Well, look at the title of our little sermon today, Live Free Like a Slave. There's freedom in giving yourself over to the Lord. There's freedom in saying, I belong to you. I belong to you. Give the Lord some praise. Thank you, Jesus. Okay. So look with me at Luke 4 in verse 18. So what is Paul trying to get at? Well, he's pointing to what Jesus Christ did for us. The Apostle Paul, everything he did was pointing to Christ. He was saying, it's not about me. It's not about Paul. It's not about Apollos. It's about Jesus Christ. It's about what he did for us. Okay, so look at this verse right here. And this is Jesus. This is Jesus making a public proclamation about his ministry. This is very early on in the ministry of Jesus Christ. He stands up in the synagogue and makes this proclamation. Hey, everybody in the synagogue, this is what I am here to do. This prophecy is being fulfilled in your eyes right here, right now. Now, the people didn't agree with him. They didn't accept it. And boom, they missed their opportunity. Okay, but we're not going to miss our opportunity. We want to be free in Christ. Can I get a witness? Okay, look here. Go ahead. Give the Lord some praise. I ain't going to stop you. So Luke 4 and verse 18, this is the public proclamation, the mission statement, if you will. Luke 4, 18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Jesus is in the synagogue. He gets the roll of Isaiah. He opens it up and he reads this and he says, this, what this is talking about, it's me, yours truly. This prophecy, this word of God is being fulfilled right here in your very presence. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives. You see that? To proclaim liberty, to proclaim freedom to the captives. You don't have to be bound anymore, especially if you've already accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Let's stop walking around bound to things that Jesus paid for us to be free from. To proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind. Now look at this. To set at liberty those who are oppressed. To set us at liberty. So I come to proclaim liberty. Hey, you guys, we don't have to be bound anymore. We don't have to be in slavery anymore to Satan. And he doesn't just proclaim it. He comes to do it, to set us free. You know what I mean? There's a big difference in just saying, hey, you don't have to live like this. You know, you listen to some music and people are like, this are the problems we have in the world. Or somebody will give, this is the problems we have in the world. Okay, well, what are we going to do about them? What's your ideals, chief? What are we doing with all this? You know, well, Jesus doesn't just say, you don't have to be free. He says, look, he who the Son sets free is free indeed. You need to follow me. You need to follow me. Can I get a witness this time? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And God bless you. And recovering of sight to the blind to set at liberty those who are oppressed. He paid for us to be free and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. So this is what Jesus came to do. He came to set us free. Okay, let's go to the next slide. God is good, amen. You know what the answer is to your problem? Jesus. Whatever it is, man, it's Jesus. You know? So let's look at John 8 and verse 34. Before Christ, before we accepted the God-man, Jesus Christ, as our Lord and Savior, we were bound. We were slaves to sin. Let me read this verse. John 8 and verse 34. Jesus answered them, truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. Well, what are you saying there? I'm saying if this is your lifestyle practicing, if this is your lifestyle, there's no changing in you. Guess what? You are a slave to sin. You are bound by sin. Before Jesus Christ, that's exactly what we were. We were slaves to sin. We were bound by it. We couldn't, okay, let me say it like this. We couldn't stop it on our own. We couldn't say no on our own. Well, there are some things you didn't have a problem with. Some things I didn't have a problem with. But there were some things, man, we just couldn't say no to. That's because we were slaves to sin. And sometimes, a lot of times, we still live like that. I know I've spent many, many years, you know, bound by things, especially mental stuff, you know, bound by stuff and just tormented in my mind as a Christian person, just overwhelmingly tormented. I hope I'm not freaking you guys out, but okay, here we are, you know, just horrible, horrible, just whatever, just bad junk going on in my mind, just bound by it. Didn't have to live like that, but that's how I was. And I didn't know a way out of it, but I knew Jesus was the answer. I knew Jesus was the answer, but I was given more into what the attacks were, and instead of giving it to Jesus. Yeah, does that make sense? Satan just kept throwing those fiery darts because he was getting somewhere with me, man. He was messing up my mind so bad. And so stay where you're at, but look at this verse again. I'm going to read this. For just as you once presented your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness. See, that's how the attacks on my mind was. The more I would give into it, the more deeper I would go into a dark place of depression and despair and discouragement. And see, we don't have to live like that. Of course, this is talking about all in any sin. You might not have the mental anguish that I went through. Yours might be something else, man. You might, you know, fill in the blank. Whatever the thing is that you know you need to give to God, whatever the things are you know you need to give to God, because it ain't just one, I'm sure, right? But we give them to God. He says, I'm the boss now, Paul. Let me be the boss. Stop living like you're the boss, because that's not going to work out very well. We were slaves to sin. John 8 and verse 34, Jesus answered them, truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. So before Christ, before we had him as our Lord and Savior, we were slaves to sin. We couldn't say no. Now look at Romans 6, 23. Because Jesus came to set us free from that, but he also, not only did he destroy the power of sin over my life, giving me the ability through the Holy Spirit to say, no way, I'm not doing that. I'm not thinking about that. I'm not doing that. I'm not going down that road this time. I'm not going to follow that train of thought this time. He gave us the power over sin. Sin has no more power over me if I don't want it to. But he also took away the penalty of sin. That's a big deal too, man. That is a super huge deal. Romans 6, 23. For the wages of sin is death. All God's people said, ouch. Like seriously, I'm going to throw the mic through the window if everybody doesn't say ouch. Not good enough, loser. Not like it. God bless you. I'm sorry. That was wonderful. I'm so sorry. Romans 6, 23. For the wages of sin is death. Okay, none of us are losers, by the way. Romans 6, 23. For the wages of sin is death. That's our penalty for breaking God's law. Okay, that's your penalty for breaking God's law. That's me, that's you, that's every single one of us. Before Christ, the wages of sin is death. Eternal separation from our Creator. Eternal damnation. Okay, H-E double hockey sticks. That's what we're facing. That's what we're facing without accepting Christ as our Lord and Savior. He did the hard work, and when we accept Jesus Christ, the power of sin has been removed. I don't have to give in to that. The penalty of sin has been removed. Well, that doesn't seem fair. It's not fair, because Jesus Christ paid for my sins. He paid for my sins. He was tormented so I can be free. He died so I can be forgiven. Amen? He paid this horrible, horrible price so I could be forgiven. So why in the world, and I don't mean to talk down or sound like I'm talking down, but why in the world would we walk around in bondage when Jesus Christ has paid for that with his own blood for us to be set free? And I'm not saying we want to, because I know what it feels like, man. I know what it feels like to be bombarded by the attacks of Satan and just be a mental cuckoo nutcase. You know what I mean? But we don't have to live like that anymore. We absolutely do not have to. We refuse to give in to that when Satan lies to us. Amen? The power has been removed. Jesus paid for that. The penalty has been removed. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. It all pivots on Jesus. Without Jesus, you ain't nothing. Okay, now here's something that I really get excited about. I'm excited about all this, but the guilt of sin. We don't have to feel guilty anymore. Listen to what I'm saying. We don't have to feel the shame anymore. We don't have to feel the guilt anymore. Okay? That's what I'm talking about. That freedom that we have through what Jesus Christ did for us. Okay, Romans 8 and verse 1, man. There is therefore now no condemnation. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. If you're in Christ Jesus, stop condemning yourself about what you did in the past. Stop listening to your neighbors. I remember what you did that one time when you caught the back forest on fire. Man, look, man, that dude's dead. I'm forgiven of that. Oh, I remember very well. It's like, yeah, man, you don't get it. I'm a new creation in Christ. Okay, there's no more condemnation. So stop condemning yourself. And Satan's going to do it. Satan's going to bring it up. But resist that knucklehead. Don't give in to that junk. Resist him so we can have peace of mind. Amen. Satan's the accuser of the brethren. He's the one that's, but I know, none of these people know how repulsive and crazy and nasty you are, man. Like, no, I'm not that person, man. I've been set free. I'm forgiven. Okay. We are free to do his will. Look at Ephesians 2, verse 10. Free from the power of sin. I don't have to give in to it. Free from the penalty of sin. Jesus paid for all this. Free from the shame and guilt of sin. Look at Ephesians 2, verse 10. I am now free to do God's will because I am under his, he is my leader. He is my master. I've switched parties. I am no longer bound by Satan, but I belong to the Most High God, and I willfully, hopefully submit to his authority over my life. Ephesians 2, verse 10. For we are his workmanship. Man, that's pretty. That really is pretty. You know, think about how God sees us, you know. Because we can be bound by the stupid, crazy, selfish decisions we've done in the past. We can be bound and discouraged by what other people have done for us, done to us. But look at what Jesus Christ, look at what God says about you. And he don't lie. Matter of fact, he paid for this. He paid for this for you to be free. He paid for you to be free with the blood of his son. Okay? Ephesians 2, verse 10. For we are his workmanship. For we are his work of art. For the Christian man, the Christian woman, we are God's masterpiece. Isn't that something? Isn't that beautiful? For we are his workmanship. The Christian is his crowning achievement. Think about that. You are his crowning achievement. Not the mountains, not the oceans, not the giant squids, not the stars, not the moon, not humanity itself, not the angels in heaven, but the Christian person, this unique creation. You are his masterpiece. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. See, it all pivots on Jesus Christ. Through Christ Jesus, I become this masterpiece. For we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for what? For good works. You mean I have to do good things to go to heaven? Nope. Nope, that's a gift. You accept what he's done. You accept what he's done. Now you're saved. I repent of my sins. I know I need a Savior. I ask Jesus Christ to be my Lord and Savior. Grafted into that family. I'm his son, right? We talked about that a couple weeks ago or something recently. Now I'm his son, now I'm his daughter. For we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works. It's not the good works that saves me. I don't have to do a certain amount of good things to get brownie points, to get God to notice me. But because of what he's done for me, he says, I saved you and now I want to put you to work for me. You used to have another master, okay, but now you belong to me. And I want to put you to work. And I've got some good stuff for you to do. So this is what I need you to do, Skippy. I need you to focus on me. Focus on me and my goodness, okay? Because it's not about you anymore, Paul. It's not about you. It's about me. It's about the Most High God. It's about being subordinate to me and letting Jesus Christ live his life through you, Paul. Okay. For we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. I think that is just amazing. Every time I read that God had things for me to do way before I was ever thought of. You know, that he had some things that he wanted me to do, that he allowed me to be born and be created, and he saved my soul to use me during this time period that he allowed me to live on earth. just amazing. So I'm free from the power, I'm free from the penalty, I'm free from the shame and the guilt, and the list can go on and on and on. But what we're talking about today is we are free to do what he's called us to do. Remember, he wants us to be a slave of righteousness now. And you know how Paul talks about in this right here, let's go to the next slide. He wants us to be a slave of righteousness, or a slave to righteousness. We don't like talking about slavery. We don't like to hear that kind of talk. You know what I mean? Like, oh, that's weird. And the Apostle Paul himself is saying, I'm speaking in human terms because of your natural limitations. Saying that you will get this metaphor, you will get this picture. Slaves have to do what their masters tell them to do. That's how the thing works. So he says, having been set free from sin through Jesus Christ, you are free from sin, its penalty, its power, amen, have become slaves of righteousness. Now he says, make yourself a slave to God. Make yourself a slave to God's plan for your life. Willfully, hopefully, I give myself to you. I'm that living sacrifice. I'm going to pick up my cross daily and follow you, whatever that looks like, because it's not about me anymore. Give the Lord some praise. First Corinthians 6, 19 and 20. You're not your own. And you never really were your own. You know, newsflash, hold the phone. What you talking about, Willis? You never were your own, man. Americans don't like to hear that. We don't like to hear that stuff. What do you mean I'm not my own? I'm American. Okay, well, check this out, American. 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20. 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20. Or do you not know, like, if you didn't know this previously, or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit? See, that's what happens. That's what happens when we accept Christ. The Holy Spirit comes to live inside of us. It is like God claiming us as his own. He's mine. She's mine. He belongs to me. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? Listen to this part. You are not your own. Verse 20. Remember that. You are not your own. Now look at verse 20. For you were bought. What? Yes, that's what he's saying. You were bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. It's like the picture Paul is painting in 1 Corinthians. It's like God going to the slave market. Yeah? Go to the slave market. And he purchases you because he wants to be your master now. And he's going to be a good master. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. Because you belong to God. So we have become slaves of righteousness. So now present your members as slaves to righteousness, leading to sanctification. More of God, less of me, each and every day. He's my master. I'm not my own. I've been bought at a price. So when I decide to be a slave of the Most High God, when I say, I want you to be my boss, I want you to be in charge, that's where the freedom comes from. That's where the freedom comes from, saying, I want you in charge. Amen. I look at James 4 and verse 7. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. You're going to submit to somebody. So let me read this verse. James 4, verse 7. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Or you could say, submit yourself to the devil. Even Christians sometimes, we'll give our mind right over to Satan. You know, he just gives, amen. And it always leads to a deeper and deeper thing. You put your foot in the shallow end of the kiddie pool, in the kiddie part. You put your foot in there on the steps. You're in the shallow end. Before you know it, man, you're in way over your head. That's how the whole sin thing works. And it's going to start in your mind. So you got to cut it off. You got to, like the fancy boy said, you got to nip it in the bud. He is tricky. He comes like an angel of light, doesn't he? He just wants to deceive us. Those temptations, they look so pretty, you know, and he knows that right carrot to wave in front of you, man. But we got to see it for what it is. We got to call it out. I'll rebuke that nonsense. I'm not going to think about that. And all of it. I have been tormented for years about stuff. And then one day, you know, huh? Well, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So this is the deal. This is the ticket. If I submit myself to God, I'm resisting the devil. If I say, God, you're in control, then I need to resist the devil. But if I make God the leader of my life, if he's in charge, I say, you're the boss, that is resisting the devil. If I'm resisting the devil, I'm saying, God, you're in charge. Does that make sense? We submit to his rule, to his authority. Look at Romans 6 and verse 12. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body to make you obey its passions. We can't really play around with this stuff. I'm not just preaching to you guys. This is me, man. I've been there. We live there, right? Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal bodies. So you have something to say about this. God says, you be a slave to righteousness. You willfully submit to me. You let me be in charge. Resist the attacks of Satan. Don't give in to this stuff. But he says, you have a part to play in all this. Okay? You submit to me. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal bodies. You don't belong to Satan, so don't let him reign over your life. Don't give him an area. Don't give him a foothold. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body to make you obey its passions. Hey, the power of sin has been destroyed through Jesus Christ. We don't have to give in. Amen? So we don't mess around with it. Walk by the Spirit. You won't gratify the desires of the flesh. We need to stay in the Word. We really need to stay in the Word, man. Stay in the Word. Feed that Spirit, man. Just like we feed our flesh. Just like we don't like to deny our flesh some of the things. You know, feed our spirit, man. Strengthen ourselves through prayer. Spend time in the Word of God. Okay, now, one more verse. So this is pretty, pretty cool right here. And we're going to close with this one. Galatians 4 and verse 7. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. So you are no longer a slave. You are no longer under Satan's control. You are no longer bound by that evil, evil tyrant. You don't have to be. We don't have to be. He's been defeated. He's already a defeated foe. We need to live like he's been defeated in our lives. Amen? I'm not saying he's not going to attack you. We all know he's going to come at you. But see, we got to rebuke that. And I'll say, don't entertain that business. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. What am I? A slave to righteousness, or am I a son of God? You're both, man. You're both. That's the paradox thing, is I'm not only do I make myself a slave to God or a servant to God, but when I accept him, he says, you are now my son. You are now my daughter. You now are in my family. Well, that's just what Christian people say. That's just no, man. It's like John the Apostle said, that's really what you are. You have been adopted into the family of God. You are now God's child. And he says, now that you are my child, you become my servant as well. And you're not just my son. You're not just my son, but you have full rights, full privileges. You are an heir. You got a massive inheritance waiting on you. See how blessed you truly are? See how blessed we truly are? So we do have a reason to rejoice. And God's honest truth, man. A big thing and that I had to realize, man, is I had to get out of my own self. Well, that sounds like some weird spiritual mumbo jumbo. No, man, what I'm talking about is I stopped focusing on me so much. Stop focusing on the stupid things I used to do or what has been done to me and all that rubbish. But focus on God and His goodness, man. Just focus on God and God's plan. Can I get a witness? Because I am a new creation. I'm a new creation. I'm a new creation in Christ. The old's gone, the new has come, right? So I don't have to be bound by that stuff. The shame, the guilt has been removed, so I don't have to entertain that. I need to live like I'm free. I need to be free and live like a slave. Thank you, dear Lord God, for blessing these folks, Lord. Thank you, Father God, that we want to be your humble and obedient servant, Lord, that we want to be what you've called us to be, that we're not going to live in bondage or misery to the old master anymore, that we're not going to try and serve two masters, but we are sold out and devoted to you as our Savior and Lord and God. We love you and praise you. Your will be done in all of our lives, Lord. God bless America. In Jesus' wonderful, precious, amazing name we pray.